The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hey, good morning, afternoon, evening. I was about to say afternoon, and I'm in my head, I was like, I don't know where these people are or what time of the day it is. So, hello. Welcome back to discipleship.ca. We're here with Kevin Hardy. We're going through the Apostles' Creed. It's episode 2 of this mini-series, but we're looking at our first part of this statement. So, as you just heard in the recording, the Apostles' Creed, as read by Teresa, we are looking at the very first statement, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And one of the things that I wanted to start off with was just pointing out one of the earliest creeds in Scripture was actually from Peter, right? At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked him the question, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. That's Mark chapter 8, verse 29. And then writing to the Philippians almost like 25, 30 years later, Paul continues that hymn and he says, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord, Philippians 2, 11. So we get Peter and Paul writing these two statements that are actually decades apart, but you realize they're pointing at the same place, right? We've got this idea that we believe in someone, right? Because this is, I believe in God the Father Almighty. So we believe in God. Yeah. Paul and Peter were at that moment fixated on Jesus Christ the Son as they were writing. But the history that they came out of as Jewish men would be God the Father, right? They look back and that would have been absolutely rock solid, settled belief that there was a God the Father who is Almighty and that they believed in Him.
Totally.
And for us, I mean, if you listen to last week's podcast, we kind of talked about like this is one of those spots where we have to actually wrestle with what do we believe and who do we believe in? And right off the bat, like at first you think, okay, yeah, I can say this, no problem. And then you start to unpack what these words actually all mean theologically.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh my goodness, it's huge.
Yeah.
So
there's some big claims here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to say I believe is to give intellectual assent to the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith.
Booyah.
Right? We've got something that we believe in, but it's more than just that intellect, right? It's actually saying that we believe in something very specific, right? So the example that was in the book that I was reading was you can say that you believe that, you know, you guys can't see him, but I could say that I believe that Kevin Hardy is a human male. But I'm not saying that I believe in Kevin Hardy, right?
It's about me.
It's about you, not in him. And that's a big thing when you realize there are a lot of people that know a lot about Jesus, but don't believe in Jesus, all right? There's a lot of people who know a lot about God, but don't actually believe in God. And the very first statement is, I believe in, not I believe about. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal to have that moment where you have to actually decide, do I put my trust that there is a God and that He is knowable?
Yeah.
Right?
Totally. Yeah, it's this idea of there's an object of faith, it's outside of myself.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on me. The emphasis isn't on self. The emphasis is on the object of that faith. You know, I believe in God the Father Almighty. It's I've heard it said before, you know, you think about anything you put your faith in. We're both putting our faith in chairs that we're sitting in right now. Where we sat down, again, not maybe not consciously going, this chair's going to hold me up.
I don't know. Mine's creaking. So I don't know how much my faith is.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes the eye test, you go, huh, I don't know if that's going to hold me up. So you can believe, and I think it was probably Tim Keller that I heard say this years ago, but he said, you know, if you're falling off a cliff, you can believe all you'd like you can believe all that you like that little branch hanging out, you know, stick protruding out of the cliff is going to hold you up. But if it's not strong enough to hold you up, it's not going to hold you up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not in that quantity of your faith. It's the quality.
Yeah.
If it's a big, strong branch sticking out of that cliff, it's going to hold you.
Yeah. It's that move from the mental theoretical to the actual.
Yeah. I'm banking on this.
Yeah.
You know, it's... again, both being farm kids and and maybe fans of the game of hockey, as we're in Canada.
Yep.
This time of year, growing up, I'd always go out to the pond and try and throw a rock out, you know, see if that ice is going to hold me up. Can I go for a skate today? Yep. I can believe all I want.
Yep.
But it's actually putting the skates on and stepping onto that ice. And if it's thick enough,
yeah,
you know, it's going to hold me.
Yeah, we did that same thing all the time. And it was like... The tricky part, right, is so for those of you who live in warm places, the tricky part when your pond freezes and you're going to go out and skate, the ice is the thinnest where the water, where the ice comes out and is close to the ground. So you actually kind of got to get across that thin stuff first to get out to the thick stuff. But if you miscalculate it, man, now you're standing like knee deep, thigh deep, waist deep, however deep it is, and there's a solid shelf of ice around you and you're kind of like just trapped there, which... is not all that much fun to do while you're wearing ice skates. So not a great example.
Yeah.
Not much fun to actually be in.
Exactly. Yeah, and to bring it full circle, it's just that, again, that sense that I'm believing in this outside person.
Yeah.
I'm believing in this outside reality that is not found by looking inside myself or found by...
Yeah.
The common beliefs in our world today are my truth and my own reality.
Which is where doubts come in, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a statement that removes all doubt. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Yeah.
Full stop, period.
He's sovereign. He's
there's in control. No doubt in that faith.
Yeah.
There may be questions.
Yeah.
Why like that? Why like this?
Yeah.
But I believe that there is God the Father Almighty. Like this is that settled, right?
And the Apostles' Creed doesn't give us all the ins and outs of the relationship of the Trinity. I mean, that gets formed later on, but this gives us the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So it's telling us who God is at the barest sense. But saying God the Father Almighty, what does Almighty mean?
Yeah.
You know, like that's a big deal. And biblically speaking, I mean, in Exodus 34, when you see God kind of revealing himself to Moses, it says the Lord passed before him. This is Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. I mean, that's getting more specific than the creed, but that's giving us a picture of God revealing himself, this God that we believe in the creed, who's revealed himself to us in the scriptures, who says, yeah, I'm gracious, I'm steadfast, I'm, you know, I'm patient, I'm loving, but again, I'm not going to just wink at sin. So again, you're already seeing this. What does it mean for God to be almighty? Well, it means he's holy and he's just and equally so. And I think that's so valuable as we read just a few words from the very beginning.
Yeah, no, and that's like that transfer from Old Testament to New Testament is where we pick up the language of Father, right? Mm-hmm. Old Testament, everybody was, it was Yahweh. It was Don't say his name. Yeah. Don't write the
vow. Fear, this reverence.
YHWH, right? And if you go through the Old Testament and and New Testament, if you're looking and it's a capital Lord, if the word Lord is written all capitals, it was the name of God,
yeah,
right? And they didn't want to say it, so they wrote something different for it. And then Jesus comes along and the disciples are like, hey, how should we pray? Father.
Father. Yeah.
You're right, and it's everybody, if you've been around church for a while, you know that that's the word Abba, Abba Father, right? It's that affectionate idea of a child,
yeah,
grabbing hold of their all-sufficient dad.
Yeah.
It's something that Jesus used that name, said that we get to use that name, or we should use that name, but the Pharisees,
yeah,
never touching that,
yeah. Yeah.
Right? It was one of those things. So we also have... as much as it's the statement that says, like, here is this massive theological truth of who God is,
yeah,
here is the affectionate relationship also built right into the totally middle of it, right?
Yeah.
It's that Father that we can grab hold of and know that He cares and loves for us all, and we can be as intimate with Him as Jesus was.
Yeah.
Like, we can pour out everything we've got to Him because He's our Abba. He's our Father. And I mean, people grab it in the world of Christian, you know, satire, and it's like, you know, Daddy God, that kind of talk. But but it is that idea that we should have we should have that intimacy with God Almighty.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we'll unpack Almighty.
And that only comes through Christ. That only comes as we're adopted.
Yeah, yeah.
That union with this Trinitarian God.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. I mean, I was just reading the other day a classic book that for those of you listening should be reading or should grab hold of at some point here. It's Knowing God by J.I. Packer.
Yeah.
I was just reading about, this just brought to memory this thought, but just reading the other night about how adoption, you know, he was talking about justification being, you know, central.
Yeah.
Justification is the central doctrine as Christians, but really which leads into this idea that we're adopted and that we're brought in and that we can actually call God Father. It's
so just to make sure,
so huge.
So give us the 10-second definition of justification.
Ooh, justification. So you may have heard this thought. Some people say justification just as if I've never sinned.
Yeah.
That's partially true.
Yeah.
It's catchy because we go justified just as if I, but I think it's partially true in the sense of it's not only just as if I've never sinned, but it's also as if I've perfectly obeyed.
Yeah.
It's the sense of Christ has, justification is a legal term. You know, it's that, you know, He's paid the price, but not only has He paid my debt, you know, Steve, you owe this money.
100%.
It's not just as though Jesus paid your debt, but he actually credited money to your account.
Yeah.
So it's that's only half true when you say just as if I've never sinned, but it's also as though I've perfectly obeyed. He's clothed me in His righteousness. That's the great exchange in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, He who knew no sin became sin.
Yeah.
He's clothed me. He took my dirty rags upon Himself and clothed me with His pure white robes of righteousness.
Yeah, I like to use the, and I don't know how good theologically this works, but I like to use the example, like on your word processor.
Yeah.
You pick a justification.
Yeah.
And that lines everything up perfectly on that line.
Yeah.
And that line is in salvation, in forgiveness, in being reconciled and made right with God. That line lands right with Christ, who justifies us to the line.
To His standard.
His standard,
totally.
Yeah, and sorry, I did that because I never know if people know
the
$10 theological word.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, which brings you, this was what Packer was getting at, was, we have this emphasis on justification, but like you were just saying, that intimacy piece is really like the daily, when I'm praying in the morning to my Father, or in the evening, or throughout the day. It's this personal relationship that is only available to me through what Christ has done.
Yeah, and that's, I mean,
bringing me in.
When you have like the authoritarian, you know, disciplinary, like, you know that if you do something wrong, you're going to get absolutely whacked for it. You obey to a level but it's nowhere near the same level that you strive to obey if you know that there's a loving, caring, yeah. intimate relationship with that rule-giving Father, yeah. right? Like we want to obey so much more because of the loving relationship yeah. than we do from the threatening relationship.
Yeah, it's right? that positive, that kindness leading yeah. you to repentance, that, man, I can't help but live a life of gratitude and thankfulness because of what he's done for me and his love towards me. And again, you have this Trinitarian formula passed on to us
yeah.
from Christ showing the disciples how to pray. And then you have the disciples moving out from that on the Great Commission, taking mm-hmm. the gospel to the Gentiles, the early church being formed. And now you have this Apostles' Creed putting these things together
right.
and saying, we start here.
Yeah.
We start with God the Father Almighty.
Yeah.
That's the baseline.
Yeah.
Which they get from Scripture. They're not making it up. This isn't... there's also this false view sometimes that the Apostles' Creed was just some political statement put together. But no, this is a grassroots deal. Like, this was simply putting together this teaching that was
commonplace. You can go back and look. There's Tertullian, Irenaeus. There was a Roman, they called it the Roman Creed.
Yeah.
There's the scriptural creeds that are all over the place in bits and pieces.
Totally.
You can see scripturally where this came from. It wasn't just kind of like
they came up with it
later.
Yeah, we're going to make this up. No, like these are scripture proofs galore.
Still not, like it's not in the Bible.
No.
Because it's not part of the canon of scripture, but it is a summary and a tool to help us learn it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did in and so just so you guys know how our process here, Kevin and I don't talk about what we're doing.
This is on the fly.
He's got a couple books that he's working through on the topic. I've got a couple books that I'm working through. They're not the same books. And then we just kind of come in and talk about it, which is why sometimes we're going to, I don't know, maybe we'll get to a spot where we disagree and one of us is going to get booted off the podcast for being a heretic. Maybe we're going to be in complete unity. But one of the things that I kind of hit on was just looking up Almighty and trying to figure out, like, what does this mean? And I kept coming back to, there's three words that I don't even really remember. Like, so coming to faith as a teenager, I don't really remember where I learned them, but I learned them fairly early, so I'm assuming youth group or something, but it's the omnipotence, the omnipresence, and the omniscience of God, right? It's that omnipotence is God can do anything that he wants to do. He's all-powerful, right? Yeah. So omni is all, potence is powerful, so all-powerful. Omnipresence is, all-present. Like, God is everywhere all at once. And then omniscient is all-knowing. God knows all things. And when you couple God the Father, so that Trinitarian understanding of God the Father, you realize that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. All-present. He is everywhere. That helps you to understand that word Almighty, I think, because it starts to frame just how big this God that we love, serve, and worship is, right? So in the omnipotence, that all-powerful nature, right? Psalm 24, verse 8, the Lord is strong and mighty, and the Lord is mighty in battle, right? Like, this idea that God himself is... his power dwarfs the armies that stand before you. There's nothing that can overpower him. There's Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. God asks Abraham concerning whether Sarah could have a child, and Abraham's like, is anything too hard for the Lord?
Yeah.
Like, Abraham knows better than to say, my wife is old and shouldn't be doing this anymore. He's like, no, if God wants you to have a baby. I like to tell my church that all the time. The seniors, I'm like, it's not off the table that you could still have a baby, and they laugh, and I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, it's a real story in the Bible. Like, a senior citizen lady had a baby because God said so.
Yeah.
So, you know, if God
it's
says...
It's kind of a big deal in the grand narrative.
Yeah, there's this... Yeah, absolutely. Isaac is... that whole... It's hard to be a nation as great as the grains of sand on the shore and the stars in the sky if you don't actually have a baby come. And that foreshadows a whole lot of other stuff, right, in leading towards Christ. But this idea that just the power that God the Father holds.
Yeah.
And how often we just don't think about that. We roll through that word so quick. I believe in the God the Father Almighty.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, all powerful. Nothing even close. The omnipresent, right?
Everywhere.
He created all matter, all time. We're going to get to create it in the next statements. But just this idea, right? Like, God is unlimited and infinite with respect to space and time. There's no part of the universe that is actually creating itself. As the telescopes that we make get better and better and better, it's not like God went, oh man, shoot, they made a telescope
that's cracked the code.
They made a telescope that sees farther. I got to make some more stuff out here.
Yeah.
Like, it's already done.
Yeah.
It was done at the start.
Mm-hmm.
In the 6 days of creation, no matter what your understanding of how that works is, God created it all in that time. It's what's there. And so we have this reality that, okay, so he's all powerful and he's got no limit to his ability, where he is, what he's doing, what he knows, what he sees. And what he knows is the next one. That he's in all of those places. So Jeremiah 23:23, right? Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and the earth? It's just that reality, like, God is with you in the private, intimate hiding places that we try to be in a very personal and real way, while at the same time, he is in the farthest off places in heaven at the same time. And wrapping our brains around that is really hard.
Yeah.
It's not something that is super easy to go,
yeah,
oh man, like, I get it. Like, God is inside and outside of time, here and not here, all at the same time.
Yeah.
He's here. I shouldn't say not here. He's here.
Yeah.
And everywhere else.
Yeah.
All at the same time. Yeah. Right.
And
then, yeah. And then you get to that all knowing deal where it's, there is nothing hidden from God. Hebrews chapter 4:13, right? No creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him whom we have, with whom we have to do. That laid bare means God doesn't just see you. He sees every molecule of blood moving inside you.
Every hair on your head.
Every thought.
Brain.
Everything that would be part of your existence.
Yeah.
In one glance, God sees all of that.
Yeah.
And then wherever you happen to be, he sees every other living and inanimate object, everything around you, in the exact same way.
Yeah, the person right beside you.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, and it should cause us to just pull back and go,
whoa.
Yeah, like, he is...
Holy,
like,
holy, holy.
Like that.
Yeah.
And that's what that one word, Almighty, wraps up all of that.
Totally.
And so often we just... We get all reductionist on that,
yeah,
right? Like, we want to reduce...
Of course, God's Almighty.
He's Almighty.
Moving on.
Yeah, Almighty Father. No thanks.
Yeah.
We'll just move on from that.
Yeah.
So I kind of went down a rabbit hole in that.
No.
And I mean, that's just me, and that's part of the reason why I like doing this podcast is because it forces me to look into some stuff that sometimes as a pastor you don't think you have the wherewithal to do it or the time in the day, and if I'm going to record and keep this on schedule, I got to do it. So it's great. I don't have hobbies anymore. I don't watch TV. I just study stuff, and I'm so thankful for that because
it's rich.
Just reminding myself of how big and glorious the God I serve is.
Yeah.
It's humbling and inspiring. And like, I don't want to, this is like, it's a Puritan kind of mindset. Like, they woke up early and they worked all day because they never wanted to be found just like lazing around when Jesus came back.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think about that all the time.
It impacted the eschatology.
Would I want Jesus to come back and catch me like just
cruising Netflix?
Yeah. Like, would I want that?
Yeah.
Because it's a real option.
Yeah,
it's a real thing. And we'll get to
that. And it's okay. It's okay.
We'll get to that towards the end of the creed, right?
Yeah.
Hang
out. No, that's not a rabbit trail. Like, you're saying that's a bit of a rabbit trail. That's not a rabbit trail, because that is fleshing out this idea of what it is to be almighty. Like, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, infinity, self-existence, or another word for that, aseity. How do you say that? I don't know. Aseity.
Yeah. I'm probably the bad. I'm a bad person to ask how to pronounce things.
Pronouncing, but
I go to Google and make somebody else pronounce it for me.
that's a bonus of Google. But those are what are called the incommunicable attributes of God. Those are attributes of our Creator that He doesn't share with us. So that's why it's hard to wrap our brains around it. He has communicable attributes that He does share with us, like the fruits of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 6, you know, love and patience and peace and kindness and goodness and self. Those are things that God has, as we are made in His image and as we walk in the Spirit, we can have similarities, but there's this holiness, this otherness, this almightiness that we don't get to play a part in.
Yeah.
We don't have that. That's a part we don't get to tap into. Thankfully, we get to pray to that Father, God the Father Almighty, who does have that power and does have that control and does have that within
him. And how good is that, just even in our prayer lives, just to realize that we're praying our requests to a God who already knows them, sees them, and knows how this is going to end.
Yeah.
So as you're praying for something, God already knows whether or not answering that prayer in a yes, no, and I've done this before on the podcast, right? It's yes, no, or not yet. It's never a maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe is a controlling overlord kind of thing. Like, if you act right, I might do this. That's not how God works.
Those are the idols, the Old Testament idols.
Yeah. So it's
trying to appease.
So we have that reality, but how good is it to know that as we pray to the Almighty God, inside our time, outside our time, with us personally, but everywhere else at the same time, He knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
Because He actually sees all of that. And, you know, we have the perfect antithesis to this. Well, I don't know if it's perfect, but, but, you know, like if you watch the Marvel movies and you have the two movies there that had Thanos, who just with a snap of his finger thought he could make the world, the universe, the all the cosmos better by snapping his finger and wiping out half the people because it was just on population. Well, it didn't work so well. We don't have a God like that.
No.
We have one that actually understands what each of us need in every moment, and He's working all those things together for His good, or our good, His glory.
Yeah, He's ruling and He's sovereign. And this is where you get into debate with, you know, other theological viewpoints, because, you know, what does it mean for Him to be almighty? Some people are like, well, what is, you know, is he really all powerful? Is he really sovereign? What is sovereignty? Is that really, you know, what is in control and what isn't?
Yeah.
And man, I love this statement. There's this. It's called To Be a Christian. It's an Anglican catechism, but it has some good questions again in regards to the creed. But one question it asks is, why do you call God the Father Almighty? Mm. And they answered in this way. It says, I call the Father Almighty because He has power over everything and accomplishes everything He wills.
Yeah.
So it goes on to say, together with His Son and Holy Spirit, the Father is all-knowing, ever-present in every place, just as Steve just kind of laid out for us. But I heard someone say one time to a theologian named Michael Horton, they said, you know, why pray to a God who is sovereign? You know, if God's got it all figured out, why would you pray to Him? And he simply replied, why pray if He isn't?
Yeah.
You know, why pray if God is not this Father Almighty?
Yeah, my wife Teresa likes to share a Sam Storms quote, and I'm probably going to butcher it, because this is totally from memory. But it kind of goes something along the lines of, how can we expect God Almighty to answer any of our prayers or to give us anything when the vehicle He expects us to receive it is to actually pray and ask Him for it.
Yeah.
Right? It's in one of His books specifically about giftedness through the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and all that stuff, and that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But His whole thing is, we don't see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives because sometimes we don't, well, not sometimes, oftentimes we don't ask.
We're not depending on him in the way that he's called us to be dependent on.
And He's called us to ask Him for those good gifts, and then Jesus told us how to pray. We don't have them, but we didn't actually ask for them, right?
Yeah. No, it's we need to respond in the ways that God has laid out for us to respond. Praying and reciting this creed, even. Yeah. Like saying, you know, saying these words with the church and with the body of Christ around you is proclaiming, I believe. It's this act. Belief is this act of trust. Like I'm banking on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm putting my hope in this. Hmm. I'm believing it. You know, I'm putting my trust in the God the Father Almighty to be who He says He is and to do what He says He'll do.
And just that coupling, right? The Father Almighty. It's like Father describes God, but it's not enough, right? We need that next. It's about the power and the ability that He has. Looking at my notes, like the literal meaning of the word that gets translated in Almighty, so I don't have the Greek word written down there. It's the one who has His hand on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Describes the God that we serve. His hand is on everything. There's nothing in this world that He has not got His hand on.
Yeah.
And that's awe-inspiring, comforting, and terrifying all at the same time.
As it should be.
Yeah.
And as you see, again, so many of the responses in Scripture when you see someone encounter God, it's falling on their face. You know, Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, woe is me.
Yeah.
You know, John in Revelation, fall on his face, and Jesus says, you know, it's me. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, like even that Isaiah one, right? Like, woe is me, a man of unclean lips.
I live among people
with
unclean lips.
And then to fix it, it's
burning hot coal.
My lips off.
Here's some coal as chapstick. Here.
Yeah, and you just go, oh my goodness. Like, I get the whole idea of refining fire, but to, like, that's just, like, to feel the depth of our inadequacy in front of God. To be at that spot.
To tremble before Him.
And then you realize that's actually like a good place to be.
Yeah.
To understand in the grand scheme of things where God the Father Almighty actually is and where we actually are.
Yeah.
It's not a case of equality, even remotely close.
No.
Even though we get to call Him Father in that affectionate, intimate relationship, it's still all-powerful Father. Yeah.
He's still so different.
It's broken and sinful child.
It's a real view of who He is. And I think that's what we're getting at with all of these pieces of the Apostles' Creed is like, what is the Christian faith and who is this God as been revealed to us in the Scriptures?
Yeah.
Even in Daniel chapter 4, I love this, when Nebuchadnezzar, you know, Daniel has testified to the Lord before Nebuchadnezzar for all these years, and then Nebuchadnezzar finally claims God as his own.
Mm.
And he says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever, for His dominion is an everlasting dominion.
Yeah.
His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Like, there's this king who's finally put in his place and looks at this great God and makes these great proclamations of who he is. And it's just this I say this on Sunday mornings all the time, but just we come together as the church to kind of get our bearings again.
Yeah.
Because we can get misplaced throughout the week. We can get tossed around. We can think too highly of ourselves or think too low of ourselves or whatever it might be, have God in the wrong place. And on Sunday morning, it's all of a sudden we're here as the people of God because of what Christ has done. And now we're standing here before Him and going, okay, I'm in my proper place here. And God must be made much of. I must be, you know, I need to be made lower, just like John says in John chapter 3. But He must be greater. I must be lesser.
Yeah.
He must increase. I must decrease. You know, and I just think it's getting this proper view, being put in our place, and not in this negative sense, but in like, well, that actually gives me.
Yeah, it's not by reducing us. It's by elevating Him.
Yeah, and going like, oh man, like He's brought me in.
Yeah,
and this idea of adoption is it's just getting this proper perspective.
Yeah. So if you guys were hoping for a short podcast, I think you figured out that this could be it's good stuff, and here, like, the thing is, it's what is it, seven simple words: I believe in God the Father Almighty, But there is pages and pages and pages of information that has been written on this, and sermons like hours, days, probably weeks and months of sermons you could listen to just on this statement. And I encourage you guys to do it last podcast. I'll encourage you again. Dig into the Apostles' Creed. The parts that are hard for you, look up the scripture references. Look up the stuff that is going to help you understand what this all means. It's a fun thing. Next week, we're going to be looking at the statement, maker of heaven and earth. And looking at God the Father Almighty as he steps into the creator role and at the start of time, and what that all means and all of those kinds of things. One of the things I want to remind you about as we kind of head out is children usually bear resemblance to their fathers, right? And we're told in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that man is made in the image of God, and human fathers have authority over their children, so God has authority over us. If there's something to remember in all of this, it's how immensely almighty, majestic, powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful our God is. And then we're made somewhat like him. There's a piece of us that longs to be in relationship with him. And so I'd encourage you all to take the moments and the time to do that, to dig into scripture and to learn about our Father and to learn about the God that we believe in, and to wrestle that through. So thanks for joining us. Hope this has been helpful, and we'll talk to you next time.